We would like to welcome all of our very special exalted guests to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for this wonderful and most important celebration of the appearance of Lord Sri Balaramji. To understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various manifestations, we must consult the authority of the proper acharyas in disciplic succession who have extracted the essence of the truth from the revealed scriptures of the world. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any of his manifestations are unlimited, ananta. And there is no end to the glories, to their pastimes, and to their mercy. But as devotees of the Lord, when we try to make some effort to glorify the super excellent qualities of the Personality of Godhead, we realize how truly insignificant we are. Even the greatest of the Paramhamsa liberated souls, they claim in their writings, in their speeches, that they are making some very, very difficult attempt even to explain one particle from one single drop from the unlimited, fathomless ocean of the qualities and glories of the Lord. And the supreme most of all personalities who are eternally engaged in the glorification of the Lord is the Lord himself in his form of Ananta. Ananta Shesh has thousands of hoods, and with his thousands of mouths, he is always glorifying the names, the pastimes, and the attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even he cannot describe a portion of a drop of such glories. And whatever we know of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ultimately coming from that original spiritual master, that original person who not only assists the Lord in his wonderful pastimes, assists him in his creation of this universe, his foremost assistant in helping him reclaim the fallen souls of this universe, and that is Lord Balaram. Today, we would like to try to express our gratitude to our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, by doing what pleases him most, simply repeating his words, because his words are the words of Krishna. And when his words are submissively accepted within the hearts of anyone, those words will instill the desire for devotional service and ultimately awaken pure, unmotivated love of Krishna, which is the supreme form of liberation and happiness. It is explained that the Vaikuntha worlds are unlimited beyond this material existence. And the highest planet of the Vaikuntha worlds is Krishna Loka. And in Krishna Loka, there are three divisions: Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan, also sometimes known as Svetadvip. And there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in a form that is absolutely non-different from himself. But this expansion is meant to assist and to maintain the spiritual world and all of the wonderful activities of divine love within the spiritual world. And that original expansion is Lord Balaram. And from Lord Balaram, who is called the original spiritual master, because the spiritual master is one who teaches others how to serve the Lord. God himself appears as spiritual master to teach all how to serve the Lord. And the spiritual master within this material existence is not God, is the eternal servant of God, but he is empowered by the original spiritual master, Lord Balaram, to give direction and mercy by which we could also engage in the supermost of all activities, devotional service. In the spiritual world, Balaramji expands himself as the abode of the Lord. In fact, he accepts all the five primary rasas. No one else can do like this. He expands his own body to be the slippers of the Lord, the helmet of the Lord, the bedstead of the Lord, the clothes of the Lord, sometimes even the jewels of the Lord. They are not just dead matter. They are actually Balaram's expansions. In this way, he accepts the service of Shantaras, or service in neutrality. He is also always engaged in making so many nice arrangements in every possible way, and leading others in making arrangements for the beautiful service of the Lord. And in this way, he is engaged in Dasyaras, or servitude relationship. As a cowherd boy, Balaramji is the friend of Krishna, sometimes playing with him, sometimes herding the cows with him, and engaging in so many intimate, loving relations with him, sometimes stealing butter and yogurt with him, sometimes teasing the gopis with him. In this way, he is in fraternal relationship with Krishna, Sakyaras, the love of a friend. Because he is Krishna's elder brother, and oftentimes he corrects Krishna, he takes that position of the superior brother, and sometimes he guides Krishna. Sometimes he takes the role of Nanda and Yashoda in their absence. In this way, he serves the Lord in Vatsalya Ras, or parental affection. And he expands himself as the very sister of Srimati Radharani, Ananga Manjari, who is always assisting her in her loving pastimes. And in this way, he serves the Lord in Madhurya Ras, or conjugal loving pastimes. The Lord then, Balaram, expands himself and all other incarnations of the Absolute Truth are essentially incarnations of Lord Balaram. The Lord incarnates as Vasudev, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, and Pradyumna. And amongst all the Vaikuntha planets where Krishna expands himself as Narayan, actually it is Balaram that he expands himself as Mahashankarshan. And from the Vaikuntha planet of Mahashankarshan, he is maintaining and conducting the basic affairs of all the innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. Beyond the boundary of the spiritual sky is the causal ocean. In this great, great causal ocean, Lord Mahashankarshan, Balaram, expands himself as Karanodakshai Vishnu, or Mahavishnu. And this plenary portion of a portion of Balaram is so great that he lays in the causal ocean and he enters into what is called Yoga Nidra, or a spiritual state of resting. And when he exhales, innumerable universes come from his body. And when he inhales, all those universes are destroyed and enter back into his body. Karano Dakshai Vishnu, when he exhales and creates all these universes, his own potency, the Lord has two primary potencies, the spiritual energy and the material energy, yoga maya and maya. He induces maya to enter into this material existence. Maya is like the mother, nature. And then Balaram, in his expansion of Mahavishnu, glances upon this material energy of maya and impregnates it with the power for all the manifestations and variegatedness within material existence, and also impregnates material energy with all the jivatmas, or living entities. In this way, Mahavishnu is the seed-giving father of every living entity in all universes, and nature is the mother. And then Mahavishnu enters into each universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. From him the lotus flower blossoms, from his navel, Padmanab, Ananta Padmanab. And Brahma is born on that navel. And that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu gives Brahma all Vedic knowledge. In this way he impregnates all knowledge to the original spiritual master of this particular universe, Brahma, and also empowers him to create. Brahma creates the various manifestations by the power of Lord Vishnu. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears as Kirodakshai Vishnu within the heart of every living entity as the Super Soul, Paramatma, to witness everyone, like two birds on the same tree. The Jivatma is the identity of the true self of us. We are part and parcel of Krishna, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively an infinitesimal part of his energy, Jiva Tattva. And therefore, our natural function is to serve the Lord. But in this material existence, we have forgotten our service. And we are trying to enjoy what is meant for the enjoyment of God, in the form of so many of the manifestations within this world. We want to enjoy through our mind, through our senses. And the Paramatma, Kirodakshayi Vishnu, is just sitting and watching, listening, waiting for us to have some desire for spiritual realization. And when he sees some inclination is there, and when somehow or other, either through Agyata Sukriti, through accidentally, unknowingly serving a Vaishnav, or appreciating a Vaishnav, or by just through meeting a devotee of the Lord, if he sees that we are sincere, he directs us. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Hridesheya Junatishtati. He directs us to a spiritual master. And that spiritual master is actually the representative of himself, the original spiritual master. And the Paramatma within your own heart teaches you through the spiritual master how to develop your love for God, how to be freed from all the miseries of birth and death in this material world. But it is said there are always two classes of men within this material creation. There are demons, asuras, and there are devotees, or suras. The demigods are the deputed agents who perform various universal functions within this world. Sometimes when they see that things are so terrible, there is such a burden on the earth because of so many exploitative people trying to enjoy the resources of the earth for their own selves, they have no love, they have no devotion, they are not performing any yajna or sacrifice for the Lord. Therefore, a terrible, terrible situation of suffering is created within the planet and within the universe. So the sages, the compassionate souls, and the demigods, sometimes they appeal to the Lord. Just as the Lord has his planet in Vaikuntha, there is a Vaikuntha planet in every universe called Svetadvip, which has an ocean of milk. And there the Supreme Lord Vishnu is residing, laying on his beautiful Anantashesh, Balaram, as his bed. And when the demigods appeal to that Lord, the Lord, to fulfill their desire, agrees to incarnate personally and perform pastimes within this world. And there are many, many wonderful avatars that we read about in the Puranas. There is Matsya avatar, Kurama avatar, Varaha avatar, Narasingha avatar, Vamana avatar, Lord Ramchandra, Parasuram, Balaram, Buddha, Kalki. These are the 10 principal avatars sung by Sri Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda. But actually there are so many avatars, like waves in the ocean. And they all come for the same purpose. Yada yada hi dharmasya aglanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord appears simply to show his mercy and compassion upon all living beings by giving them, by displaying such wonderful, wonderful pastimes to attract everyone to go back home, back to Godhead. So it is explained that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the source of all other incarnations. And how Krishna appeared in this world is the most wonderful story. And how Balaram appeared to prepare the way for him is what we will discuss this evening. The demigods prayed to Vishnu, who told them he would appear. Devaki had 6 children. They were all killed by Kamsa. And then the Supreme Lord Balaram appeared within the womb of Devaki at her 7th child. What happened is that Krishna called upon Yogamaya and told her that I want you to transfer Balaram, who is in the womb of Devaki, into the womb of Rohini. Devaki was in the prison cell of Kamsa along with Vasudev. Rohini was also a wife of Vasudev, but she was under the care of Nanda Maharaj. Actually, Nanda and Vasudev were brothers because Surasena, he had 2 wives. One was a Kshatriya and one was a Vaishya. And Vasudev was born of the Kshatriya mother, and Nanda Maharaj was born of the Vaishya mother. So Vasudev married Kshatriya lady, Devaki, and Nanda Maharaj was married to a Vaishya lady, Yashoda. So they were best of friends, they were relatives, and they would do anything for each other. And naturally, the greatest offering of love is to care for someone that the person you love loves. So Nanda was very happy to take care of Rohini in her helpless condition. Meanwhile, Rohini was she was pregnant. She was in her 7th month of pregnancy. And today one devotee asked, if Vasudev was in prison through 6 children, how could Rohini be 7 months pregnant after 6 children were killed and he's in prison? This devotee has very material conceptions of life. I will not mention his name, but most of you know who it is. And if you don't, just see who has turned colors more than anyone else in the room. Arrivo. Because Krishna, when the great avatars of the Lord take birth in this world, it is not like us. The spirit soul, when we take birth, we have to float around in the fluid of the man and then go into the womb of the mother and then we gradually just start developing and little insects biting us, and it's a terrible problem. Huh? But when the Lord appears, he simply appears. When Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki, he just appeared in the mind of Vasudev. Then from the mind of Vasudev, he went into the mind of Devaki, and then from her mind into the womb, and then very shortly after, he was born. So, Nrsingadev didn't have a mother and father. He was born of a pillar. Huh? And Varahadev was born from Brahma's nose. So Krishna is transcendental to all your concerns. So Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki and simultaneously in the womb of Rohini. And in the seventh month of pregnancy of Rohini, Rohini had a dream at midnight. She dreamed that her baby disappeared from her womb. And she woke up and it appeared that the baby had disappeared. And as a mother, she was worried about her baby. And then Yogamaya told her that on the order of Krishna, Balaram Shankarshan is I am going to place him in your womb. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Balaram was transferred to the womb of Rohini, and he was born in the beautiful land of Gokula. Shri Balaram Ji Ki. And 15 days later, Krishna was born. Hari Bol. Any questions about that? Nrsingadev didn't even need 15 days. Second. This is the source of Nrsingadev. And all other, and everything that exists. So he was... Krishna took birth, and he took birth simultaneously from Yashoda and Vasudev, and by his order... I mean, Yashoda and Devaki, he was brought from Mathura to Gokul. And then Krishna and Balaram were like little babies, and they played together. There was a wonderful, wonderful birth ceremony when Krishna was born. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains that generally during a birth ceremony, if a wife's husband is away, she does not decorate herself nicely. But when Krishna was born on Janamastami, the next day was Nandotsava. There was a big, big celebration. And Nanda and Yashoda, seeing their beautiful, beautiful child, Krishna, who they were praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for so long to have, they were just so happy. They gave ornaments and jewels and clothing and garlands to Rohini. So to satisfy them, she accepted and she dressed very nicely. And Rohini and Yashoda were inseparable friends. And they raised their children, Krishna and Balaram, together. And the greatest joy of their life were simply to see these little babies together. The charm of their beauty captivated everyone's hearts and souls. In all of Braj Mandala, no one could think of anything except Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is all attractive. Balaram is all attractive. These babies were simply the life and soul of all, and they would crawl. They like to crawl. Babies crawl on their hands and knees, and in their crawling condition, everyone would just look at them, and they would sometimes cry, and they would sometimes smile, And in this way creates so many different types of ecstasies in the hearts of the Yashoda and Rohini. And they were always fearful that monkeys with sharp teeth might bite them or scratch them with their nails. Or some of the cows have big horns and some they might accidentally hit them with their horns. Or the thorns on the vines might scrape their tender bodies. Or the stones on the path might harm their tender limbs. In this way, they were always in anxiety, worrying about Krishna and Balaram. But Srila Prabhupada explains that because this is the spiritual world and their anxiety is for Krishna, this kind of anxiety is ecstasy. It is the ultimate pleasure. The anxiety of the material world is miserable. The anxiety in the spiritual world increases our love, our ecstasy, and our satisfaction. And Vasudev, he was very much thinking that Krishna and Balaram are now living with Nanda. They deserve the best of everything. So he secretly asked this spiritual master of the whole Yadu dynasty, Garga Muni, to go there to perform the purificatory name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. So Garga Muni came to Gokul. And Nanda Maharaj greeted him with great, great respect and attention because he was a Brahmin and a Vaishnava. He was a great devotee. He gave him sitting place. He gave him nice refreshments. He bowed down and gave him so many sweet words. People like you are so merciful because we are grihasthas working so much. We are naturally absorbed in all of these other concerns in life. But great souls like you come to our home just to enlighten us and teach us the real goal and help us remember the Supreme Lord. And he asked Garga Muni, now that you are here, could you please give the name-giving ceremony and purify our children? And Garga Muni said, this is very dangerous because Kamsa is just going around killing everyone. He's sending asuras. He already sent Putanai. Sakatasura, he's sending so many demons everywhere. Durga, Yogamaya, appeared and told him that the son who's meant to kill you is somewhere else. So he's searching frantically. And he knows that you're a Vaishya. You're not officially one of the Kshatriyas in the Yadu dynasty. So why would I, Garga Muni, perform the purificatory rites for your children? Unless your children were the children of Devaki, I would have no business here. If I perform it, he will know that this is the person meant to kill him, and he will send all of his demons to destroy Vrindavan, Gokul. So Nanda said, then let us do it in a very private way, in the cowshed, where the cows are kept. No one will be invited, not even our friends and relatives. Only Yashoda, Nanda, and the two children, maybe someone. So Garga Muni agreed, and he explained who these children were, that they were actually the Supreme Personality of God. In regard to Krishna, he said, this boy, he takes birth in every yuga to deliver everyone with the principles of religion. He has appeared in a white color, in a red color, in a yellow color, and now he is appearing in this beautiful blackish color to deliver all. And he predicted so many of the wonderful pastimes that Krishna would perform. And in regard to Balaram, he explained that this boy, I name him Rama, because he will give the supreme joy to all the residents of Gokul. And I name him Shankarshan, because he has united the two families of Vrindavan and Mathura. And he is also the source of everything. And I name him Bala, or Balabhadra, because he is very, very strong. He has supreme power. And Balaram, because he loves to enjoy displaying his supreme powers. Ah. In this way, Nanda was very happy. And he named Krishna Krishna because he was all attractive. And from then on, they were Krishna Balaram. Sometimes they would crawl around and they would catch hold of the tails of the calves. And the calves would become afraid and start running. And they would drag them through the cow dung and through the cow urine and through the dirt. And all the gopis would watch and laugh. And then Yashoda and Rohini would collect their two children and give them baths. And they were always laughing and singing the glories of Krishna and Balaram. And they would feed their children with the milk from their own bodies. And sometimes when they would go to feed their children milk, they would look in their mouth and they would see little tiny teeth growing. And they would be very happy. They would be in bliss, seeing that their babies are starting to grow up. In this way, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was in their very arms drinking their milk, they had so much loving affection as parents that they could not recognize them as anything but their sons. This is the unique transcendental flavor of love in Vrindavan. Gradually, they started learning to walk. And as they would just start stumbling around and getting off their hands and knees, they did walking, and this was a great pleasure to their parents. And after they were able to walk somewhat nicely, they became very mischievous. Krishna Balaram. Sometimes they would go to the gopis' houses, and they would put various pieces of wood and other furniture and pile them up, and they would climb to the rafters where the butter and yogurt were hanging, and they would steal it, and they would eat it and share it with their friends and feed it to the monkeys. And when the gopis would come, they would run away very fast. And if they were caught, they would fall at their hands and knees and say, "I will not do it again." But generally, they never got caught. Sometimes they would put water in the ears of the little babies younger than them to make them cry. Sometimes they would pinch the babies. Sometimes they would pass urine on the floors of the gopis. They were very mischievous children. And the gopis would sometimes come and complain that this Krishna Balaram, they are doing all this. Sometimes it's so dark, just the jewels on their bodies light up everything so they know exactly where to steal our butter and yogurt. So Mother Yashoda said, "Then I will take away their jewels." They said, "It doesn't matter. Their bodies are so effulgent that it gives off light." And when Mother Yashoda was hearing these complaints, she was actually smiling in ecstasy to hear the glories of the Lord. And the gopis were smiling at ecstasy to speak these glories of the Lord. So Mother Yashoda just didn't have the heart to punish them. But one day, Balaram came to Yashoda and said, "Krishna ate dirt." "What is this? Why did you eat dirt?" Yashoda said. Krishna said, "I did not eat dirt. Balaram is a liar. And he's induced all these other friends to lie against me. If you don't believe, you look in my mouth." And in this way, she looked in his mouth and she saw the entire cosmic manifestation. All the different universe and all the variegatedness within the mouth of Krishna. In this way, Balaram was always performing wonderful pastimes to reveal the glories of Krishna to the world. After some time, when Krishna and Balaram went from their Komar to their Pogonda age, they were given charge of the calves. And they would take all the nice little calves out with their little sticks and horns and flutes, and they would herd them in the pasture grounds of Vrindavan. And they would play so many games. Shukadev Goswami describes many, many wonderful, playful pastimes. Sometimes they would They would imitate the animals. They would hear the birds and they would start singing like the birds. They would hear the monkeys and they would start singing like the monkeys. And they'd start singing like the peacocks. And they'd even move their necks like the peacocks. And they'd jump from tree to tree like the monkeys. And they'd jump in the water like the frogs. And sometimes they would take fruits like the amalaki fruit, the bale fruit, and they would play football and kick the fruits. And sometimes they would play, Prabhupada says, blind man's bluff. And sometimes they would play hide and seek and search for each other. And sometimes they'd all try to touch Krishna and Balaram. And this way they would play and they would play. And they would all have their little packets of lunch that Yashoda, Rohini, and the other mothers would arrange for them. And they would all very be interested in what everyone else had packed in their lunch. And they'd be showing each other what prasad they had. And they would taste each other's prasad. And in this way, enjoy on the banks of Jamuna with their friends. One day, Krishna and Balaram were together. And Krishna said to Balaram that amongst our calves there is a demon. He has disguised himself as a calf because he wants to kill us. But just see what I will do. Balaram gave his blessings. Yes, you do. And then Krishna very quietly went to the back of the calf and grabbed him by the legs and started wheeling him around. And the calf died. And then he threw him into a tree. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the reason why Krishna threw him in a tree is because there were very nice fruits in that tree. And this demon named Vatsasura was so, when he resumed his original form, he was so heavy, when he hit the top of the tree, all the fruits fell down. And then Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys had nice feast of fruits, very sweet fruits. Prabhupada said they were simultaneously sweet and sour fruits, very tasty. And on another occasion, Krishna and Balaram, they were walking through the groves of Braja, and Krishna began to glorify Balaram. He said, just see all these trees, how they're bending down with so many fruits. But actually the reason why they're bending down is because they are all bowing down at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram, because you are such an exalted personality. And just see how the grass and the creepers and all the animals and the peacocks, everything in Vrindavan is singing and blissfully making themselves so wonderful just to offer respect to you. Sometimes when they would play like this, Balaram would become tired, and one of the cowherd boys would say to Balaram, you use my legs as your pillow. And then Krishna would come with a fan, and he would personally fan Balaramji with great love and affection. On one occasion, the cowherd boys, three of the principal cowherd boys, Subal, Sridhama, and Stoka Krishna, they approached Krishna and Balaram, and they said that there's a forest nearby named Talavan, and there are very sweet fruits. They are so sweet, even from here, can you not smell the fragrance of them? We should enjoy these fruits. Actually, they were very much fond of eating fruits from the trees. They used to have all kinds of technology to get fruits from trees. Sometimes all the cowherd boys would stand under these trees while the calves would be eating their grasses, and they would have stones, and they would throw the stones and hit the fruits and they would fall down. And more advanced technology, they would tie string to the stones. And they would, when the stone would go up and somehow wrap around the fruit, and then they would pull the string. And in this way, they were always enjoying in this very simple way, like common village boys. There was one great Vaishnav Paramhamsa poet who prayed that I am not concerned with liberation, I am not concerned with mystic powers, I am not concerned with studying the Vedas, which everyone who is afraid of material existence is studying. I am simply concerned with meditating on that on Nanda Maharaj, offering my obeisances to Nanda Maharaj, because the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, is playing like a little baby crawling in his courtyard to show his love to his father. So the boy said, the Sakas and the Gopas, that the problem is this big demon, and he's in the form of a gigantic, powerful ass, and his name is Dhenukasura. And he has so many friends with him who are also big asses. And if anyone goes near that forest, they kill them. All the animals of that forest have left. No bird will even fly overhead of that forest. And Dhenukasura was one of the associates of Kamsa. And what Dhenukasura would do is these fruits were so delicious that he and his demon friends, ass friends, they would eat all the fruits to their heart's content, and whatever was left they sent to Kamsa in Mathura. But the gopas wanted to eat the fruits. They said, Krishna, you kill demons all the time. And Balaram, you take great pleasure in showing your strength. So kill those demons so we can eat the fruits. So Balaram is always anxious to satisfy the desires of his devotees. So Balaram went into Talavan. And he went to a big, big fruit tree, tal tree. And he began to shake the trunk and the branches. And he shook it so hard that all the fruits came tumbling down to the ground. And all the cowherd boys were very happy, jumping up and down, dancing. Jai Balaram. But it made a lot of noise. And that noise was heard by Dhenukasura. And he was very angry. Who has the right to come into my forest and take the fruits that belong to me? Materialistic people cannot tolerate someone trespassing on their realm of sense gratification. And there are wars over this. Huh? That's what basically all wars are. Every country has their boundaries. This is for our sense gratification. And if you want to get through, you need a passport and you need a visa, and you have to go get harassed by immigrations, and if we don't like you, we kick you out. But this is our land to enjoy. This is called ass mentality. So Dhenukasura was like that. So when he saw Balaram shaking the trees, he couldn't believe such audacity. He just went up to Balaram and with his hind legs he started kicking and kicking and kicking right in the chest of Balaram. And Balaram just stood there. Didn't care. And Dhenukasura was very angry. He started kicking again. So then Balaram, with one hand, he took the hind legs of Dhenukasura and he started twirling him around so fast that Dhenukasura became so dizzy that he died. And then he threw him on the top of the biggest tall tree. And that tree came crashing down. It hit another tree. That made another tree crash down. Another tree crashed down. Another tree crashed down. And then all the demon cohorts of Dhenukasura, they were so angry that their leader had been killed. They charged. And they all started kicking Krishna and Balaram with their legs and their chests. And Krishna and Balaram were both effortlessly with one hand grabbing all of them the same way by their hind legs, whirling them around till they died of dizziness, and then throwing them in the trees. And soon there was just all of the demon asses, just different colors too. It was actually a very beautiful scene. Prabhupada called it a panoramic view. And then the children, the demigods, were very happy. They were showering flowers. And the children were jumping up and down and clapping their hands, saying, "Well done, well done, very good, thank you very much." And then they all started eating fruits. And they had a big fruit-eating festival. And then the animals and the birds and everyone came back to the forest. Another time, Krishna Balaram were herding calves. A demon named Pralambasura, he disguised... you never know who your friends are in this world. So he was just looked just like all the other cowherd boys, and he was playing and dancing and had his sticks and he was herding his cows, and they started playing a game. And this particular game, whoever lost the game had to carry the winners on their back, and like that. That was the punishment for losing. So they played. And this demon, who was named Pralambasura, he actually took the side of Krishna. And he lost the game, and he picked up Balaram on his back, because Balaram won. Because Balaram would usually be on the opposite side of Krishna. They were like the two captains of the teams amongst the gopas. So he started running with Balaram. But instead of just running a few circles like children do, laughing and playing, he started running very fast, deeper and deeper and deeper into the forest. Balaram was thinking, what is this person doing? What is this cowherd boy doing? So he started to assume a heavy weight. He became heavier than a mountain. And then this demon, just because Balaram was so heavy, he resumed his original form, Pralambasura. He was huge, bigger than a mountain. He covered the sky. He had a black complexion like coal. And he had terrible, terrible red eyes and beards. He was a very, very fearsome person. And he wanted to kill Balaram. But Balaram was just like, he looked like the beautiful full moon on a big black cloud. And with his fist, he went pow, and smashed the demon in the skull, and his skull cracked. And blood came out of his head, and he vomited blood, and he fell to the ground, and he died. Harivo, Shivalaram ji ki. And then all the demigods were very happy that this Pralambasura, Kamsa's friend, was killed. They were showering flowers. And all the cowherd boys were very happy celebrating the great victory. In this way, Krishna and Balaram lived in Vrindavan. And so many wonderful, wonderful pastimes took place. Tonight, or today, is actually also the anniversary of when Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys. Did you know? We can understand through the story itself. One day, it was Balaram's birthday. It was Balaram Jayanti. So, Yashoda Mai and Rohini Mai, they said that, Balaram, you should not go out and play with your friends today. It is your birthday, so we must give abhishek to you. And we must have all the Brahmins bless you and do all these nice religious activities. So Balaram stayed home. Just recently before Krishna killed Agasura. So Lord Brahma was thinking, let me show the world who is this Krishna. Simultaneously, he wanted to see for himself. So, when Krishna and his friends were sitting on bank of Jamuna, and they were taking prasad together, Brahma induced the calves to go far away, and then he kidnapped them. And Krishna said, no need to be concern, my friends. You go on eating prasad,
And I will find the calves.
Krishna is always very anxious to serve his devotees. Always anxious to make sacrifices himself to give pleasures to his devotees. That's why he comes to this world. So while all the children were enjoying eating nice prasad, Krishna went searching. And then Brahma stole all the cowherd boys. And he put them all asleep and hid them. And Krishna understood what was happening. Meanwhile, the sun was going toward the horizon, and all the gopis and gopas, the older parents, would be worried about their children, and what to speak, the cows worrying about their calves. So Krishna did not want to see this anxiety in Brajbhumi, so he simply expanded himself as every calf and every cowherd boy. But what kind of expansion? Identical. He behaved with exactly the mannerisms that that calf and cowherd boy had. He wore the exact same clothes, and every feature in every part of the body was a replica. The only difference is everyone loved their children so much, they were just in ecstasy. They just couldn't stop looking at them and embracing them. And in this way, what is one Brahma, he was playing a game. He decided, I will play this trick for one moment of his own time. But one moment of Brahma's time is 1 year. 5 or 6 days before this year expired, one day, all the gopas and gopi, or the gopas were out with their calves, and the cows were on the top of Govardhan Hill. And the cows saw their calves. And these were older calves. Most of these cows already had little calves, tiny little calves that they were giving milk to. And they never give their milk to the older calves. But the cows just had so much affection for these older calves because they were all Krishna. They started running down the hill very fast, and their milk bags were going swaying to and fro, and they were very big. And they were dripping with milk. And they ran down the hill, and the calves started sucking their milk. And the mother cows were just licking their calves with so much affection, tears in their eyes, ecstasy. And the cowherd men were very disturbed. We will have no milk. So they came running down. And then they saw their children. And all their anxieties were just completely forgotten as they saw the beauty of their children, and they began to embrace them and cry on them and smell their heads. And Balaram saw this. Because Balaram was the only one who wasn't part of this Leela in that sense. And he was thinking, how is this? How is it that I love all these calves and cowherd boys as much as I love Krishna? And how is it that the cowherd men love their children the same way they love Krishna, and the cows love their calves the same way? It must be because they are all Krishna. Balaram figured it all out. That they are all, the calves are Krishna and the cowherd boys are Krishna. And then he asked Krishna, how such love is there? And Krishna explained everything. Balaram was very happy. But then a year went by, and it became again Balaram Jayanti. So Mother Yashoda said, Balaram, Rohini Devi said, you stay home, we must do the Abhishek, and we must call the Brahmins to chant mantras for you. So Balaram stayed home, and then Brahma came down to see the fun, and he saw that all the calves and all the cowherd boys were there. How is this possible? He went and checked his hiding place, and they were all there, sleeping. He went back and looked. They were there. They were there. They were there. Balaram Brahma became, he has four heads. He could look. And wherever he looked, he saw them. And he was very bewildered. And then as he looked, every one of the calves and every one of the cowherd boys, and there were so many, they all became four-armed Narayans. With the conch shell, the lotus flower, the disc, and the club.
And then he saw around each one of them was Narada and Shukadeva and everybody, all the great sages and demigods worshiping them. And then he became completely bewildered. He never had seen anything like this. And then within a moment, everything disappeared. And there was just Krishna standing alone with some dahi, yogurt and fruit in his hand, looking for his friends, exactly as 1 year before. And then Brahma came down and surrendered to Krishna. He placed his head on Krishna's feet and begged that you are the Supreme Lord. I am your servant. Please forgive me. Because I am such a big position, the father of everyone in the universe, the biggest, most wonderful planet, I have become proud. I thought that I was great. Like a firefly thinks he's great in the darkness, but when the sun rises, he realizes he is insignificant. In this way, Brahma surrendered to Krishna. And this beautiful pastime took place on this day, Balaram Jayanti. Shri Balaramji ki.
Jai.
Shri Radha Gopinathji ki.
Jai.
Another time, Krishna and Balaram were playing with gopis in Vrindavan, and one of the associates of Kuvera, his name was Shankachuda.
Yes?
He was a very wealthy man because he had so much of the wealth of Kuvera, and he was very proud. And when he saw Balaram and Krishna playing with gopis, he was thinking, these gopis are very beautiful. And a man who is very handsome and very intelligent and very wealthy, when he sees beautiful young girls, he thinks they must be for my enjoyment. He cannot tolerate them being anyone else's enjoyment. So he just went up to the gopis like he was their own husband and master, and he started ordering them, "You come with me. You come with me." And he was just forcing them into the forest with a stick. And meanwhile, the gopis were crying out, "Krishna Balaram, save us! Krishna Balaram, save us!" He was taking away the gopis right in the presence of Krishna and Balaram. This is how much one becomes completely covered over by material infatuation of too much opulence and prestige. So Krishna told Balaram, "You watch the gopis and I will teach this man a lesson." So Balaram stayed back with gopis and Krishna chased after Shankachuda. And Shankachuda ran away and Krishna beat him and killed him. And then he took the jewel from Shankachuda's head. He had a beautiful jewel on his head. And he came back and in front of all the gopis to honor Balaram, his older brother, he gave that jewel to Sri Balaramji. Sri Balaramji ki. In this way, Krishna and Balaram enjoyed unlimited, beautiful, beautiful pastimes in the holy land of Vrindavan. And then later, they moved to Mathura, and then to Dwarka, and Balaram performed so many wonderful pastimes in Dwarka. What are some of the pastimes? One time, Balaramji was asked by Krishna to visit Vrindavan because the Brijabasis were in great separation from Krishna and Balaram. So when he arrived, he got on his chariot and he went to Vrindavan and he was greeted by all the Brijabasis headed by Nanda and Yashoda. And they all were offering him their greatest respect and love. And they were very much relieved after so much separation of years. And they were inquiring about Krishna. "Does he ever think of us? Does he remember us? I know after he killed Kamsa, Balaram also helped Krishna kill Chanura and Mushtika. And then Krishna killed Kamsa. And after that, the Brijabasis has not seen them."
So the residents of Vrindavan were all gathered around Balaram asking him so many wonderful questions about Vasudeva and Devaki and Ugrasena and Krishna especially. And after these wonderful intimate exchanges to his superiors, he bowed down, Balaram. To his equals, he embraced. To those junior to them, he accepted their obeisances. And then he sat with the gopis. And they were very much telling him about their separation from Krishna. Every day we are making garlands and nice arrangements, hoping they will come, but they don't come. So we simply cry. Our whole lives we are simply crying. Will Krishna ever return? And when Balaram saw the pathetic condition of the ecstasy of the gopis in separation, he went to a place called Ramghat on the banks of the river Jamuna. And there he performed Ras Lila with his own gopis. Krishna and Balaram had their own sets of gopis. And he performed beautiful, beautiful Ras Lila on the banks of the Jamuna with his gopis. And Krishna's gopis in the forest were watching. And just by seeing, they were completely satisfied, as if they were having Ras Lila with Krishna themselves. In this way, Balaram stayed for 2 months during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha, just to give satisfaction to gopis and the Brijbasis. And one night, the demigod Varuna, in order to serve Balaram and gopis, he sent his daughter, Varuni, in the form of a liquid nectar that was flowing out of the hollows of the trees. And this Varuni was so fragrant, it was more nectarine than nectar. And it was very transcendentally intoxicating. Not like the intoxications of this world. The intoxications of this world just dull your mind and destroy your life. But this intoxication was total spiritual bhakti that increased the capacity of love. Of course, it can't even be increased, but still, this is inconceivable. So Balaram and gopis were drinking this Varuni, and they were very much happy. And then Balaramji decided, we will bathe in Jamuna. We will play water sports in Jamuna. So he ordered Jamuna, come here, we want to enjoy your waters. And Jamuna was thinking that Balaram is intoxicated on this Varuni. Why should I come there? So she didn't come. So Balaramji became very angry. He said, you wretched river, you are not surrendering to me. I will teach you a lesson. I will take my plow and scratch you into pieces. And he took his plow and began to scratch. And Jamuna immediately appeared in her beautiful personified form, and with folded palms she surrendered to Balaramji. She said, please forgive me. I didn't understand who you are. You are my Supreme Lord. I am at your service in any way you want. So Balaram forgave, and then he went and began to take his bath with gopis in Jamuna, and it was a very beautiful pastime, and they came out nice and refreshed, and then the goddess of fortune appeared with beautiful new blue-colored clothing for Balaram and jewels and garlands. And in this way, Balaram enjoyed every night with gopis and all the days with the Brijabasis for 2 months, and then he returned to Dwarka. When he was in Dwarka, sometimes he would go to a place called Raivata Mountain. And this Raivata Mountain is a beautiful, beautiful place. And he would go there with young girls who were his eternal servants. And they would sing and they would dance and had beautiful, beautiful pastimes. And there was a very demoniac personality. His name was Vivida, and he was a gorilla. He was actually the brother of Mainda, and he helped Sugriva and Hanuman fight against Ravana and the Rakshasas in the Battle of Sri Lanka. But it is explained that Vivida, he very much honored and was willing to surrender
to Ram, but he had some bad feelings toward Lakshman. And because of these bad feelings toward Lakshman, who's the original guru, that's Vaishnava Aparad. So therefore, he lost his devotional consciousness and he began associating with Bhomasura, who was a demon. And therefore, Vivida went from a great devotee to a demon. And then Krishna killed Bhomasura. Because this Bhomasura, also known as Narakasura, he captured so many of these princesses and held them captive. And Krishna killed Bhomasura and took the 16,000 princesses and married them and brought them back to Dwarka. So Dvivida wanted to get revenge that his friend was killed. So he was causing havoc. He was stronger than 10,000 elephants. Sometimes he would go to the ocean and his hands were so powerful he would start stirring the water and it would create floods. It would create floods all over the world. That was his power. And sometimes he would go to the places where Brahmins were performing yajna and he would just start tearing apart the yajna. And other times he would just start passing stool and urine. And he was big. So it was big stool and big urine. He would all over the yajna. He was like a mountain. And sometimes he would go to aristocratic families and he would steal their daughters and rape them by force. And sometimes he would set fire to cities and villages and cowsheds. He was really a demon. But he concentrated mostly on the area around Dwarka. So when he heard these beautiful singing sounds, he went and he saw Balaram and the gopis. Not gopis. They were residents of Dwarka, but they were friends. Gopis never leave Vrindavan. So he began to jump on the trees and make these sounds. Kila, kila, kila. And the gopis saw, and they started laughing. Prabhupada says, young girls, they like to laugh at everything. We have seen. So they were laughing. And then he started making all these expressions. He would show his teeth, and then he would move his eyebrows and his eyes in such a way. And the gopis were laughing more. And then he started doing disgusting things. He started showing the lower parts of his body right in front of Krishna, right in front of Balaram. And then he went up and started trying to take off the clothes of the gopis and he started taking off the clothes of Balaram. And Balaram was thinking, he's going too far. This is not proper etiquette. And not only that, he's causing so much disturbance. So Balaram punched him in the head. Shri Balaram ji ki! Jai! And blood started coming out of his head. But Prabhupada said, actually Dvivida was beautiful. And when the blood started pouring out, it made him even more beautiful. It was like liquid manganese flowing from a beautiful mountain peak. The poetic phrases of the acharyas is something wonderful. And then Dvivida was very angry. So he picked up this big, big oak tree. Have you ever seen oak trees? They are huge, strongest trees. And he picked up this oak tree and he took off all the leaves and branches and he began to beat the head of Balaram with this oak tree. And Balaram took his club and smashed the oak tree into pieces. And then he picked up another oak tree and started beating. And Balaram with his club, he smashed the oak tree into pieces. And another oak tree, another tree, another tree, another tree, until the entire forest had not a single tree left. So he was out of ammunition. Then he picked up rocks, big, huge boulder rocks, because he was as strong as 10,000 elephants. And he attacked Balaram to beat him with these rocks. And Balaram with his club, named Sunanda, he started just smashing these rocks to pieces. and another one, and another one, and another one, till there was not a rock left in the area. And Vavita was so frustrated, he ran up to Balaram with his fists and started beating him with his fists in the chest. So Balaram, he has no weapons. Balaram put aside his club and his plow, and with his fist, he hit the collarbone of Vavita. And Vavita, his eyes started rolling. He started to vomit blood, and this big mountainous creature fell to the ground dead. Shri Balaram Ji Ki! And the demigods were very happy that this terrible demon has died. On another occasion, Duryodhana had a daughter. Her name was Lakshmana. And it was time for her marriage. And she was having a Swayamvara ceremony where so many kings and princes were coming and showing their greatness. They were actually showing off. Thinking that she will love me by seeing how strong I am and how handsome I am and what kind of clothes I wear and jewelry, and she will take me as her husband. And Krishna had a son named Samba. And Samba wanted to marry Lakshmana. But the problem was Lakshmana did not want to marry Samba. And Samba knew this, that she'll never choose me. So he just went into the arena and just picked her up and drove away on his chariot. And the members of the Kuru dynasty were very angry. This is very bad. How could a Yadu do this to us? We must punish Samba. We can't kill him, because after all, he's Krishna's son. We don't want to kill him. And also, the fact that Lakshmana is now alone with him, we can never marry her to any other man, because that's the way the Kshatriya codes were at that time. If a woman is touched by another man, she cannot be married. That was how strict things were in those days, in the Kshatriya rule. So, they decided to send six Maharatis. Six of their greatest Maharatis, Bhishma, Karna, Bhurishrava, Arjuna, and others. And they all attacked. And Samba was also Maharati. They are as Ratis, Ekaratis, Maharatis. Maharati is the most powerful warrior, someone who can fight against thousands and thousands of men in a time and defeat them all. And the etiquette amongst Kshatriyas is a Maharati should only fight against a Maharati. One against one, it's fair. Six against one is unfair. It is immoral. So all six attacked and said, Samba, don't run away from battle, we challenge you. So Samba turned around and started fighting. And he was fighting so gallantly, even though he really didn't have a chance, all the six Maharatis were praising his qualities. But ultimately, because they were surrounding him, they removed his horses, they removed his chariot, they broke his bow, and he was standing there, and they captured him. Meanwhile, Narada Muni went to Dwarka. And he went to the court of Ugrasena. Krishna was there, Balaram was there, all the Yadu leaders were together in the assembly hall. He said, do you know what happened to Samba? He wanted to take the girl he loved. Six Maharatis against one, unfair. They can't. He's now in prison. The Yadus were about. Ugrasena and Krishna said, away with the Kurus, they're finished. They're history. We will destroy them today. How dare they do this to the son of Krishna? But Balaram was very understanding. And he said, the Kurus and the Yadus, we have been friends for so many generations and so many years in this life. Why such a small thing should cause interruption? The Kurus like me very much. I know your plan is to send all our armies to destroy them from the face of the earth. But please let me just go myself with Uddhava and I will make peace. When they meet me, they will do anything for me. And I will bring back Samba and his new wife Lakshmana, and the beautiful relation of love between the Yarus and the Kurus will be kept intact. So they said, all right, but if you fail, we're coming. So Balaram went. And when Balaram came to the border of Hastinapur, he sent Uddhava to announce that Balaram has come. So all the Kurus were so happy, because Balaram was actually very affectionate to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. They liked him best. So they all came out, and they all began washing his feet and offering him nice throne to sit on, and they offered him arti, and they offered him a wonderful feast, and they all were singing his glories. And after this beautiful ceremony of worship, Balaram said, I have come on a mission this time. The king of the Kuru, the king of the Yadus, Ugrasena, has sent me to tell you that you should give Samba and Lakshmana to me peacefully, to keep peace, and I will take them back to Dwarka. And when the Kurus heard this, they became very angry. What? What is this Kali Yuga? That a Yadu is making a demand from a Kuru? What nonsense? We are the emperors of the world. You are just a king of a province. We are the emperors of the world. You are depending on us. Whatever food you eat is because of our mercy. The flag and the insignia you use is only because of our mercy. Just see, the shoes meant for the feet are trying to take the position of the helmet on the head. You have the nerve to make a demand from the Kurus? Absolutely not. And they went on and on and on and on. And Balaram was quietly listening. He didn't say anything. But as they were speaking, he was getting more and more angry. Transcendental anger, not like the uncontrolled anger of this world. We have anger in us because God has anger in him. But his anger is simply for the welfare of all living beings, to protect his devotee. Our anger is simply due to uncontrolled desires that are unfulfilled. So Balaram didn't say anything. He just waited as they talked and they talked and they talked. And when they ended, his eyes were red like coals. Nobody could even look at him. It appeared that by his glance he was going to destroy the entire cosmic manifestation. And then the supreme reservoir of all strength, Balaram, spoke. What audacity! What false pride! Ugrasena is the greatest of all the kings, and Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of everything. And you are thinking that we are depending on you? Because of your material opulence and because of your power and prestige, you are offending the greatest souls of the Yadu dynasty and God himself? Today I will teach you a good lesson, because today the Kuru dynasty will cease to exist. I will destroy all of you. And then he took his plow and he beat it against the ground. And as he beat it, it created an earthquake. And the entire kingdom of Hastinapur was separated from the rest of the earth. And it was trembling and shaking, and everything was shaking. And all the people of Hastinapur were in complete fear and anxiety. They were screaming. The whole land was just trembling and shaking and trembling and shaking. And Balaram, with his plow, he hooked on to the city of Hastinapur and he began to drag it, and he was about to throw it all in the river Ganges. And when the leaders of the Kurus and everyone else saw this, they came running out with Samba in the front. And right behind Samba was Lakshmana. And they all had they had no weapons, they had folded hands. You don't fight Balaram, you only surrender to Balaram. And they all prayed, Balaram, forgive us, please. We are your eternal servants. We did not understand. We have an illusion in Maya. Because we are so rich and we are so famous and we are so powerful and we win so many victories, we have become completely under the control of forgetfulness. Power, prestige, wealth make us forget God, make us forget our insignificant, humble position to God. Queen Kunti prayed, Janmaishwarya Sruti, that high birth, material wealth, high education and physical beauty make one proud. And in that pride, you forget you're the eternal servant of Krishna. You forget how to cry out helplessly for the mercy of Krishna. But by the grace of Balaram's plow, their pride was removed and they surrendered. And they said, here is Samba, and here is Lakshmana, and here is a fantastic dowry. We will give you so many elephants and so many horses and so many chariots and so much gold and so much silk and so much land. Here's a whole dowry. Take Samba, take Lakshman, take this dowry, bring it back to Dwarka and tell everyone in Dwarka we offer our obeisances. So Balaram was very happy. And it is explained by Shukadeva Goswami that actually the residents of the Kuru dynasty, they knew Balaram. They did all this. They aggravated him on purpose just because they wanted to see him reveal his great strength. They wanted to show the world the power of Balaram. So they behaved in this way. The Kurus and the Pandavas were fighting a lot. The Pandavas were exiled to the forest for so many years. And ultimately it was decided there would be a battle in Kurukshetra. So Balaram was ready to fight. But they decided that if Krishna or Balaram fight on any side, there's no chance for us to have even a war. So Krishna, they decided, would be the chariot driver of Arjuna and he would not fight. And they decided Balaram should be a mediator. And Balaram, he loved the Kurus, he loved the Pandavas, and he didn't love being a mediator. So he decided, I'm just going to go on pilgrimage. I don't want to be around during this war. So he went on pilgrimage, and he was going to so many holy places. And he came to the holy place called Naimasharanya. And there was a 1,000-year yajna taking place. And the leader of all the Brahmins was a soul named Romaharshan Suta. He was a direct disciple of Srila Veda Vyas, and he was sitting on the Vyasasan. And there were so many great learned Brahmins, rishis, and sages assembled. And when Balaram came into the assembly, they all bowed down and all then stood up to offer their respects to him. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purpose of a great soul is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Romaharshan Suta, who is the leader amongst them, he sat on his Vyasasan. He did not stand up to greet Balaramji. He did not bow down because he was proud. He was thinking, I am so learned. I am the disciple of Vyas. I know the Shastras so well. I am so pure. And look at how everyone is revering me. There is no need for me to bow to anyone. Balaram, who is the source of the Paramatma in everyone's heart, knows everyone's feelings. And he understood that this person is giving pravachan. This person is representing the absolute truth, and he has pride in his heart. This cannot be. Balaram was thinking, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. I have descended in this world to establish religious principles and to annihilate crooked people misleading others. Humility is the essence of all religious principles. Humility is the substance of all spirituality. Even if you are the greatest scholar of the Vedas, even if you can perform the most unbelievable austerities, even if you can speak the scriptures so eloquently Even if you have all kinds of great powers, if you are proud, then all of your so-called spiritual opulences, they are just like a jewel on the head of a serpent. The serpent, that jewel makes him look very beautiful. But he's a serpent. And the jewel makes the serpent more dangerous, because that jewel is so charming and so beautiful that people are attracted to it. They want to pick up such a serpent. They want to be near such a serpent. But the serpent has poison. Without humility, all other attributes and qualities are like decorations on a dead body from the spiritual point of view. And this man is in the most recognized high position of teaching others. I must teach him a lesson. Besides that, he's not even a Brahmin. By birth, Pratiloma. His mother was a Kshatriya, his father was a Brahmin. But that doesn't matter. Even if one is an outcast, if he has Brahminical qualities, he's to be revered and worshipped as a Brahmin. But if a person doesn't have those qualities, he is simply a cheater. He is not a Brahmin. And this person is taking a position, but he has no qualification because he is not humble like a blade of grass. So Balaram picked up a blade of grass. Kusha grass. And he touched that grass to Romaharshan Sutta, and Romaharshan Sutta immediately fell dead. Shri Balaramji ki!
Aye.
And the sages who were gathered at Naimasharanya to hear his pravachan, they were shocked. He killed him right under the asasan. It's not etiquette.
Proper etiquette.
And they said, and the sages began to pray to Balaramji. They said, Balaramji, you are the supreme god. You can do whatever you want. But still, the example you set is what other people will follow. And the problem is this. We are Brahmins, we are sages, and on behalf of you and the Lord, we have already given Romaharshan Sutta the blessing that he would live a long, healthy life for the next 1,000 years to perform this yajna. And now you killed him. What happened to our blessing? And Balaram said, then I will bring him back to life. And I will give him so many luxurious blessings and opulences. They said, but you are God. Once you hit him with the kushi grass, he's dead. We cannot ask you to do something against what you have already done, because you are our worshipful Lord. But you can do one thing. The father lives through his son. So it was agreed that Balaram would give that blessing of long life, great intelligence, and all other blessings to the son of Romaharshan Sutta. And in this way, what is given to the son is accepted to have been given to the father. And that son, Ugrashava, Sutta, and later he became known as Sutta Goswami, who was the narrator of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had received directly and personally the transcendental blessings of Lord Balaram. And then Balaram said, although I am the Supreme Godhead, and I had a right to do what I did to Romaharshan Sutta, and I'm glad I did it, still, to set a proper example for man, I should perform some atonement. They said, there's a terrible demon. His name is Balvala. And whenever we're doing some good yajna here, he always comes and he passes stool and urine on the yajna and tears it to pieces and terrifies all the Brahmins. So please rid us of this Balvala. So when the yajna was being performed, sure enough, Balvala appeared along with many storms and other terrible omens. And as he was attacking the sacrifice, Balaram used both of his weapons. With his plow, he grabbed onto him and dragged him down, and with his club, he smashed him in the head.
And they performed the yajna. And then Balaram performed his yatra. He went to Gangotri, Badrikashram, Jamunotri. He went all Prabhaschetra, everywhere throughout India. And then he heard that the battle of Kurukshetra was ended. And when he arrived, Bhima and Duryodhana were having a fight. It was the last battle of Kurukshetra. Everyone was killed. And Duryodhana and Bhima and Yudhisthira, he said, Duryodhana, if you defeat Bhima, I'll give you the whole kingdom. Krishna said, why did you say that? We've gone through all this to give you the kingdom, and then you say that? Anyways, it was a big fight. And Balaram came. And Balaram loved Duryodhana, and he also loved Bhima. And he didn't like to see these fights. To reestablish the principles of religion, he would fight. But actually, he liked harmony and unity and love and trust. He would, whatever fighting he did was only to establish that. So he said that this fighting is useless because Bhima's stronger and Duryodhana, I taught him how to fight with the clubs, so he's better with the clubs, so neither one will win. In a fair fight, neither of you can win. So you're fighting for nothing? So my order to you is you stop this fight at once and become friends and don't worry about it. Don't waste your time. But Bhima and Duryodhana, they hated each other so much for so many years that they couldn't listen to Balaram. Sometimes we see things like this, where two devotees are fighting and the spiritual master says, just be friends, don't fight. But they just have so much anxiety, they continue fighting. And then the spiritual master, who's the representative of Balaram, what can he do? He just goes away. So Balaram went away, because he could not stop the fighting. And he went back to Dwaraka, and he was very much greeted and embraced by everyone in this way. But then when he heard that Bhima hit Duryodhana below the belt in an unfair way, he came back. And when he came back, Duryodhana deserved it. He cheated the Pandavas so many times that, please don't hurt Bhima. So Krishna was the only one who could save the situation at the time. So in this way, the prophecy of Balaram that he would enjoy displaying great feats of strength was very much fulfilled by his wonderful pastimes. But more important than that was how Lord Balaram was always displaying his supreme mercy upon his devotees and always assisting Krishna in bestowing his mercy upon him.
Balaramji appears in the same. Dina hina yata chau harina mudari lo tharaka.
Jagayan Mata.
Rajandra Nandana Jay, Sachisuta Hoilo Se, Balarama
Hoilo Nitai.
And to inundate the world with the holy name.
That beautiful sign
has appeared
as Sachisuta, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Balaram has appeared as Nityananda Prabhu.
Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram,
who has appeared with all of his power, but all that power was displayed in the most merciful, compassionate, and magnanimous mood. Nityananda Prabhu is none different than the full manifestation of Balaram himself, who has appeared to destroy all ignorance in this age of Kali. It is described that Sachi Mata, her household deities were Krishna and Balaram. And one day she had a dream, and this dream very much bewildered her mind. It was a blissful dream, but very much she couldn't understand it. So one day she told Lord Chaitanya that I had this dream, my Vishwambar. In this dream, I was offering a plate of bhoga in the form of sweetmeats to my deities of Krishna and Balaram. And right before my eyes, yourself, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, came in the room and they started eating the sweetmeats.
And Balaram and Krishna said,
"Ah, what are you doing?
Why you are stealing our sweetmeats?"
And Nityananda Prabhu said
to Balaram, he said, "The day of your Lord is finished.
Now my Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is come."
This age of Kali.
And Balaram and Krishna were saying, "What, you dacoits, stealing our offerings. You cannot do this." And in this way, they were fighting. They were taking the food out of each other's hands and eating and fighting and fighting. And then Nityananda Prabhu called out, "Sachi Mata, I'm hungry, I'm hungry." And then I woke up. And Sachi Mata asked Lord Chaitanya, "Can you explain what is this dream?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "This is a very nice dream. This dream is true, but it is very confidential. But now let me, if Nityananda is hungry, let me get him and bring him home for prasad." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to get Lord Nityananda, and Sachi Mata, she loved Nityananda as much as she loved Lord Chaitanya. They were like her own two sons. And Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya sat down for prasad, and Sachi Mata came and began to serve it. And then she went to get more to serve, and when she came in the room, she saw that this Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, their bodies transformed into two little children, naked, without any clothes. And one had a beautiful white complexion, that of Balaram, and one had a blackish complexion, that of Krishna. And they were very much enjoying Sachi Mata's prasad. And when she saw that Nithai became Baladev and Gauranga became Shyam Sundar, just tears started flowing from her eyes and her hair stood on end, and she fell to the ground unconscious in ecstasy, and all the food just that she was holding, all the plates of prasad, just went in all directions. And then Lord Chaitanya got up and he said, "Mother, please, it's all right. Please arise." And Lord Chaitanya very affectionately and lovingly picked her up. And then she just went in her room, and in the ecstasy of transcendental love, she began to weep and weep and weep. And meanwhile, the servant Ishan cleaned up the room, and this beautiful pastime revealed the truth of what so many scriptures explain. Age of Kali. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And in this age of Kali Yuga, Balaram, in his form of Nitai, exhibited the ultimate compassion and mercy. When Jagai and Madhai hit him on the head with the pot, what could have Balaram done to him? We have already described what he did to Denukasura, what he did to Pralambasura, what he did to Vivida Gorilla and Balvala and so many other demons. Jagai and Madhai, he could have destroyed them in a second. His mere planary portions of expansions in the form of Narasingha and Varaha destroyed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. And here these men, they were criticizing him. They were abusing him with words, and they tried to kill him by smashing him in the head, and blood was flowing all over his body. But he exhibited his supreme mercy to them. When Lord Chaitanya came to kill them, he said, "My Lord, do not harm them. What they did to me doesn't hurt. It was an accident. Please be merciful to them. If you kill them, you have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga, because everyone's Jagais and Madhais. We have not come with the weapon of the chakra, the club, or the plow. We have come with the weapon of Harinam to make them all devotees." Nityananda Prabhu forgave them, and he gave them the holy name of Krishna, and he gave them love of God. And Jagai and Madhai, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, raised their arms shortly after that, and with tears of ecstatic love and pure hearts, they began chanting very loudly the holy names of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he would go everywhere and he would pray. Bhaja Gauranga, Kaho Gauranga, Raho Gauranga Namare. That worship Gauranga. Always remember Gauranga. Take his holy name, chant his holy names. Be his devotee. Anyone who chants the name of the Lord in humility and devotion, that person becomes my life and soul. Nityananda Prabhu became the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. Balaram in his form of Nityananda went to the most fallen and fell at their feet and begged them, take the name of Krishna, take the name of Gauranga, go back to Godhead. Worship Gauranga. Become his devotee and chant his holy name. And give this message to others. This is the only alms I beg. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu inundated all of Bengal with love of God by giving them Harinam. And he predicted that one devotee, empowered by my grace and the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, will spread the glories of the holy name throughout the world. This was Nityananda Prabhu's prediction. And this year we are celebrating in only a few days the centennial, the 100th anniversary of the birth of that great soul who Nityananda personally sent from the spiritual world to fulfill his prophecy, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The original spiritual master Nityananda Prabhu has empowered Srila Prabhupada to do what no one has ever done. Nityananda Prabhu could have done it himself. One time, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that why didn't Nityananda Prabhu spread the holy name to every town and village during his time? And Srila Prabhupada was walking, and he put his cane to the ground and stopped, and with great humility and ecstasy, he said, because he was saving this mission for me. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Nityananda Prabhu ki!
Jai!
Shri Balaramji ki!
Jai!
So at this time we will celebrate the beautiful Aarti ceremony on this holy tide day of Balaram Jayanti, which is becoming night. And what better way can we celebrate following his direction of accepting the Yuga Dharma. All of the power and glory and opulence of the Lord is there to protect us and uplift us by accepting the Lord's mercy through his holy name. So let us very loudly and beautifully chant the holy names of Krishna. Thank you very much.